And when you confess your sins as you walk as a child of God, He forgives. He continually washes you. He doesn't wash you with Tide or whatever your favorite thing is. He washes you by His Spirit, the washing of the water of the Word, the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. He washes you. Get your Bibles open. We are in Matthew chapter 24. Matthew chapter 24. Last week we studied there in 25 about the five wise and the five foolish virgins. And we're going to back up here and find some powerful words that Jesus just tucks in there. And it is an amazing thing because the words of Christ, are you with me? The words of Christ are living, they're powerful, they're sharp. And He has a little verse in here that will strike us. The Lord says what He means, and He means what He says. He puts these things in here that we may read them and know them and lay hold of them and be embraced by them. The Lord Jesus Christ. So these two verses are actually right here and just blessing the Lord Jesus Christ, the words of Christ, and their elevation and all that they are. So we'll begin reading here in verse number 34 and 35 and read these verses, and then we're going to back up a little bit. In verse 34, He says of chapter 24, "Assuredly I say to you, this generation will by no means pass away until all these things take place." And He had just been talking about the fig branch and the blossoming and putting forth its leaves. You'll know that summer is near. And this is a hallmark verse in verse 35. One that you should have underscored in your scriptures, in your Bibles. You should take notes around it often. For the Lord says, heaven and earth will pass away, but My words will by no means pass away. The Lord's words, their elevation. Now listen up here a moment. The Lord's words, they are elevated. They are high and above mortal mind. And the Lord, in His goodness, by His Spirit, He teaches us His Word. His Word, the motto of the Lord's work when He was here on earth, His motto was, "The poor have the gospel preached to them." That was the words He told John. So this is what He moved and about, and people received His words. He spoke simply. The words of God, which are above mortal understanding. And He visits us and He speaks plainly and teaches us, and we understand what He is saying. The words of Christ. And so, you know, when we studied some time ago in the Beatitudes, where blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall know God. And then He goes on to say in Psalm 24, "No one can ascend unto the hill of the Lord except he who has clean hands and a pure heart." When our hearts are washed in the blood of Jesus, and therefore our lives being redeemed, His Spirit taking up residence in opening our minds and illumining our hearts and minds to receive the Word. The only ones that will go on home to be with the Lord are those who have been washed in the blood of Christ. And those who have been washed in the blood of Jesus until that time comes, like you and I, we open our Bibles, we read the Word, He illumines the Word, and we go into the very presence of the Lord as in a way with prayer. We're always in the presence of the Lord to ascend to Him in its own is grace. So the words of God are authority. They are authority. They are high and above human language. And in his great grace, he puts it right under the table and feeds us, and we understand and we know. Words that were established long before creation by the eternal word himself. And they are deep. There's an awful depth to the word of God as well in that, because they are just so deep, so deep. And yet he teaches us. They're limitless. The words are boundless. They're just, once again, far beyond the human mind. So not only are they elevated, not only are they deep, but they're authority. The authority of God's word. Thy word I have hid in my heart, that I may not sin against you. We gather for worship, and we start off purposely by reading scripture. And I hope that your minds and your hearts, but your minds and are beginning to embrace the scriptures as they're read to you in the morning. And washing the mind and getting the thoughts focused. This is not just a format that we do. It's not just a religious exercise or routine, but the power and the authority of God's word as we assemble in the house of the Lord to hear what he has to say. The same thing is when you are quiet with the Lord and you're reading the word, and that let the word arrest your mind and wash your mind. The only way you battle and defeat sin in your life is by washing the mind by the water of the word. The water, as the Spirit of God, washes your mind and just feeds your heart and strengthens your soul and gets you, you know, back on center focus. The Word of God and what he has to say to us today, he says that he means. He always means what he says. You know, in Jesus' day, as the scribes and the Pharisees taught the people, they were very subtle in their deceit. And they taught the people what they wanted them to hear so that they would be dependent on the scribes and Pharisees. Jesus didn't teach that way. The arrow of his word is sharp and straight. And he really is not moved at all whether or not people like his word or not. He speaks the word and then he leaves the word with you, that the word, that living word, will work out its purpose in your life. And if you reject it, that is your decision. But the powerful word of God, his word is straight. And he doesn't speak as humans speak. Words that are familiar to us. But he's so careful to teach us what we are able to bear. He's a beautiful Christ. And in one that here we are in mere just low mortality. But we have this eternal word, the words of the Lord, and how that in these are these red words, that they are level one statements of God, of Christ, boom, right out of his mouth. The one whom one day we will all stand before. The one who says, I am the Alpha and the Omega. I am the Almighty. So let us move on as we read here in chapter 25, or 24, I'm sorry. And beginning at verse number 36, after he says, heaven and earth will pass away, but not my words. Verse 36, but of that day and hour, no one knows. Not even the angels of heaven, but my Father only. But as the days of Noah were, so also will the coming of the Son of Man be. For as in the days before the flood, they were eating and drinking and marrying and giving in marriage until the day that Noah entered the ark and did not know until the flood came and took them all away, so also will be the coming of the Son of Man. And two men will be in the field, one taken, the other left. Two women grinding at the mill, one taken, the other left. Watch therefore, For you do not know what hour your Lord is coming. But know this, that if the master of the house had known what hour the thief would come, he would have watched and not allowed his house to be broken into. Therefore, you also be ready, for the Son of Man is coming at an hour you do not expect. Who then is that faithful and wise servant whom his master made ruler over his household to give them food in due season? Blessed is that servant whom his master, when he comes, will find so doing. Assuredly, I say to you that he will make him ruler over all his goods. But if that evil servant says in his heart, my master is delaying his coming, and begins to beat his fellow servants and eat and drink with the drunkards, the master of that servant will come on a day when he is not looking for him. And at an hour that he is not aware of. And he will cut him in two and appoint him with the portion with the hypocrites. And there shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Watch. Watch. Therefore, watch. You do not know when the Lord shall return. Now, although this is a second coming scripture, its truths therein are very applicable to living while we wait for the rapture of the church. While we wait. While we work, and we are busy, we are working for Christ. Remember, as we studied that, the virgins watching, preparing our lives adorned with the gospel. We're sharing Christ. We're living holy unto the Lord. We're waging the good battle. You know, Jesus' chief message as he preached was all about the coming of God's kingdom into this world and coming first into the hearts of people, and then he will come and establish. The parables are just more than just stories. They are instruction that invoke a response. When you read the parables of the 10 wise and the 5 foolish, or the 5 wise and the 5 foolish, and as well as you read what he says here, no one knows when I'm coming. We were last week, the bridegroom delays his coming. And all of a sudden, the cry. The Lord delaying his coming for a thousand years is as a day, and a day is a thousand years. And there's reasons for Christ when he comes, when he comes. The fullness of the Gentiles is yet to happen. And has been said, when that one last Gentile is saved, you can be sure the Lord's return into the heavens for his people will happen. Real soon. It is also about the fullness of Israel, the restoration of Israel. The Lord knows the day. No one knows, as Jesus taught. And those who have rejected God, when you read the parables, their hearts are struck. For it's all about the kingdom of God, the authority of the word. And for the Christians, when you read the parables, when you hear the parables, your heart should be encouraged and encouraged to greater love and faithfulness unto the Lord. To rest in him, to be walking daily in fellowship with him at his side. Waging a good warfare for the Lord. So parables invoke a strong reaction in people. Because the authority of the word, the depth of the word, the elevation of the word. And when we read any portion of scripture, it is the same. So here in this passage, in our text, the Lord brings a strong warning. He brings a strong warning, church, that no one knows when he's coming, but he is coming. He is coming. We do not know when he will come for any one of us individually or as the church. There are times when you have perhaps close encounters with death, narrow escapes. Why? As Brother Jim said, it wasn't time yet. And there's no other answer for it. The work of the Lord goes on. And so his chief message about the gospel. And so the life and the ministry and death and resurrection witnesses to the reality and the power of the kingdom of God in our lives. And for those who have rejected, confirms their unbelief. Those who believe, they are really engaging and encouraging and teaching to us. Now there are just words, instructive words. And in preparing for this, I thought about the little game of hide-and-seek we play. Used to play. I think we still play hide-and-seek, but we just do it in a different way. Lots of times with each other. What was the last line? Somebody's up against a tree. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 25, 28, 29. All right. And then what's the last word he says? She says, "Here I come, ready or not." He's coming. He is coming. And so, no one knows. And throughout the text, we see it multiple times that Jesus says, no one knows. Not even the angels. And here is Christ. Even in this discourse, this is the Olivet discourse. The Sermon on the Mount and the Olivet, Mount of Olives. You find it back at the beginning of the chapter. It's the two longest discourses of Christ. And as he's teaching this, only my Father knows. Isn't that amazing? And now truly as it was after his resurrection, then just fully knowing all things in its fullness, as he grew more and more into that, only my Father knows. And this was established and prepared long in the eternal counsels of God, long back. He knows. He's on track. He's on time. All the events of the world, all the things that are happening, diseases, famines, and going on. It's all right on time with God's word. He knows what he's coming. He knows. The question is, will you be ready? Will you be ready? And so this is a question here that the disciples asked the Lord in verse 3 of 24. Lord, you know, tell us when these things shall be. What is the sign of your coming? So then you go back in and you read 23. You just go on by. You read the whole thing. And so, what are the signs of the age? And the things that he has listed, we find that are so applicable today, they're so real today. False prophets. You know, isn't it amazing that every so often some false prophet, some teacher, he may even be a popular preacher, but all of a sudden says, this is when the Lord's going to return. No. He cannot know. He doesn't know. And when someone says that, I don't care who he is in violation of Scripture. Because Jesus said, no one knows. And sometimes man gets so full of himself. Well, often he does. And he usurps his own authority over Christ. And when he says that, no one knows when Christ is coming. No one knows. We know of the wars and the rumors of wars. And now the biggest concern is if China and Japan, you know, start crack firing at each other. Two great big beasts they are. And that would just totally rock the world. Rumors of wars. This has been going on and you know that and it gets getting worse. And the whole world is in fear. All it takes is for one to trigger. And oh my, the satellites will kick in. And there'll be warfare. There is so much that man could just wipe himself off the face of the earth. But the Lord will hold things. He will hold things back. Because he's the one that's in control and in charge. And so famines, disease, earthquakes, persecutions, all these that we see happening. But the Bible says, no one knows. Now, if unbelievers knew, if it was given to us in the scripture exactly when Jesus was coming back, unbelievers would live their, you know, just wicked, ugly life, and there we go, until the Lord returns. Christians would do the same thing. Well, I'm going to just party on with my life, and whenever Jesus getting close to death, maybe a month. I'll give him 2 months. I'm going to get right, and I'm going to really live for him. Ooh, I'm going to really do it. No. Don't make a mockery of God. God says, I am not mocked. And people who live a wretched life, yet claiming the name of Christ, or somehow they plan out their own redemption, or even crying out to God in the last breaths of their life, is no guarantee that he will hear that person with mercy and receive them. For God says as well, I am not mocked, and in the day of your calamity, I'll laugh at you. So when a life lives in a most anti-Christ kind of a way, full of self, and we come, then we're going to redeem our own lives into the glories of God by our own theology and our own ways and means. It can't be done. For as a person is born again in Christ, and you are robed, you are washed in the blood of Jesus, robed in his spirit, and you are his. You're no longer your own. I am crucified with Christ. I live for Christ. How are we doing with that, my dear friends? How are we doing with that? My loved ones, stay in your Bible. War against the flesh. Look at people through the eyes of Christ. Make your decisions with the wisdom from God. Take the journey of your life into account. Live each day. Now, maybe reword that. Plan each day as if you have a long lifetime. To work and labor for the Lord and to do good and visit the poor and take care of the needy, and but live as if you only have this hour. For it truly may be all that you have. The silence in here this morning would be just striking as the silence is here. The Lord Jesus Christ, ready or not, here I come. And it's been a long time in coming, but his return is sooner than later. Neither the supernatural world knows. The angels don't know. The saints in glory don't know. Nobody knows but the Father and Christ, the Holy Spirit. They know. And the Lord is coming soon. I mean, the angels, now think about this, they hover around his throne, they're around his throne, they do his bidding, they do his work, and he says, now go serve and take care of these people, and believing in guardian angels, and just they are his messengers, but they don't know. No one knows. They don't let anybody stand in any pulpit or listen to any broadcast and believe when the person says the Lord is coming back at such and such a day, this month, next year, or whatever date he nails it to, she nails it to. No. No one knows. Jesus said, be constantly ready. Ready. Think of the moment. Lord willing, next week we will be in 1 Thessalonians 4. For the shout of the Lord, the trumpet of God. And up we go. But think of that moment when he calls you away in what you would be found doing. Or think of the moment when he calls you away individually. Are you ready Are you ready? Are you looking for that soon appearing, that blessed hope, that coming of the Lord Jesus Christ, and thereby living your life? And it's amazing that in all these restrictions, Jesus said in Philippians 2:6, although he existed in the form of God, Scripture says about Christ, he did not regard equality with God anything to be a grasp, that is to be held on to during his humanity at the Lord. So he says, only my Father knows. And when he says, you know, if the thief knew, or if the master of the house knew when the thief was going to come, he wouldn't allow his house to be broken into. Well, we get that. And Jesus isn't aligning himself up or comparing himself with a thief as a thief. He's talking about the quickness. How soon he returns. The snatching away of his people is likened unto a harpooning. You know, just, it's going to be a snatch. We're gone. And away with the Lord we go. And so, he has three things here for us. And they're brief. They're very plain. Number one is watchfulness. Watchfulness. Watch ye therefore. You know not when the hour of the Lord's coming back. Watch. It's that attitude that prevailed during the flood. And it's what we find in our culture today. And certainly will be so in the tribulation. And just an ungodliness, and people don't care. The gospel is preached, they won't hear it. They don't care about the return of the Lord. Society today is so hard, and it's getting worse. Christians don't even really care so much when the Lord's coming back. Why? Because they're not thinking on it. And they're not living by it. It doesn't matter. I'm ready. There's a dullness and a longing to sleep spiritually. Oh my, when he comes, will he find you ready? People will be are today and will always be looking for everything else and everywhere else for answers in life except for the Word. Trying to find their peace and their gladness in the Word or relationships or somewhere else instead of just coming to Christ. Coming to Christ. Continue to build my own little empire. It's time now to take out another CD or another goal in my 401k. And it just goes on and on and on. My own life. And all of a sudden it's going to come to naught. You know, when Noah built the ark, as Peter writes in his second chapter of his second book, you know, they laughed. This is absurd. He preached for 120 years with no effect on hardly anybody or on nobody except his immediate family. It's going to be as it was in the days of Noah. Only a few will ever hear today anymore. And in many churches, for the pastors, it's just like feeding the grind. The word is preached. They pour it out with their heart and soul. And so often it's like feeding paper through a shedding machine. Because minds and hearts have gone to sleep, so caught up with the ways of the world. Christians in the church are slow to volunteer to serve within the church, let alone serve the Lord out there. Are you ready for the Lord's return? Watchfulness. Second one is readiness. And this is what's about here in verses 43 through 44. You do not know what hour the thief will come. Just that readiness. You know, Luke has a similar thing in chapter 12, verses 35 through 37. He says, be dressed in readiness. Keep your lamps bright. Be like men who are waiting for their master when he returns from the wedding feast, so that they may immediately open the door to him. And when he comes and knocks, blessed are those slaves whom the master shall find on the alert when he comes. And truly I say to you that he will gird himself and serve them. Serve. You know, in the millennial kingdom, my dear brothers and sisters, the Lord will serve. It's going to seem so backward. He will serve his church. Today is when we serve him. Is your heart in love with the Lord? Are you serving the Lord? Where are your thoughts through the day? Your prayers. When the Lord returns, ready or not, only those who find themselves in their Lord's gracious presence, then they will be served personally. The last one is faithfulness. Watchfulness, readiness, faithfulness. Be faithful unto the Lord. He says that in Revelation as well. Be thou faithful unto death, and I'll give you a crown of life. Faithfulness. There's so much to take us away, take our hearts, our minds, our energies away from the Lord. There's so much. That in itself calls for us a great battle to fight in our hearts and minds to be about the Lord's work. And so the Lord Jesus, this trusted slave in his faithfulness, it's an analogy that he used, and serving the Lord. Being ready. You know, when someone knocks at your door, you open the door and, well, that's your choice. You bid them enter or you don't, right? Now, I'm not really referring to the verse in Revelation, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock." What I'm saying to you this morning is when the Lord Jesus comes to you personally and he knocks on your heart's door and says, "It's time to go." Are you ready? Are you ready? Unbeliever, you certainly are not ready. Christian, are you ready? William Barclay gives an analogy, and I think at one point in time I have used this. Or he uses this. It's a fable that has to do with procrastination. How many in here can be procrastinating about things? Come on, be honest. People behind you can't see your grin. They want to see the back of your hand. Say, "Oh yeah." Procrastinating. Three, they were apprentice demons. So they talked to their boss. They're in a meeting with their boss. Who's their boss? Old Satan. And he says, What are you going to do? And how are you going to tempt and ruin man? How are you going to do this work?" he asked them. The first one said, "Well, I'll tell people that there's no such a thing as hell. I'll tell them there's just no hell and you just live your life." And Satan said, "Oh, that's all right, but even those who say there is no hell, pretty much down inside somewhere, it just might be that they think otherwise." So they said, that's not really a good plan. And he asked the second one. And he said, "What are you going to do?" He says, "I'll just tell them that that you'll be all right. You'll be all right. You can live how you want, and you'll be okay. And but trust Jesus, and just do that little thing, and then go about your way. Okay? But don't get too serious about it." Satan says, "Nah, that will never work." Says to the third one, "What were you going to do? How are you going to do this?" He said, "I think it's pretty easy, boss. I'll just tell them they got time. You got time. I just get in their mind and say, you got time. Do it later. Get serious with God later. Do it when you're middle-aged. Do it when you get older. And every time it keeps coming back to you. No, now that you're middle-aged, do it when you're older. You got time. You still got 5 more years yet before you have a heart attack or your blood pressure and you have a stroke. So you still got time. Satan said, that'll work. Just put it off. Just put off any kind of obedience unto the Lord. Just put it off. Put it off. Take your chances, and they're not good. Just put it off. No one knows. No one knows the hour when the Lord shall return. Let me close with words of Peter from his second book. Do not let this one fact escape you, beloved, that with the Lord one day is as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years is one day. The Lord is not slow about his promise, as some count slowness, but he is patient towards you. He is patient towards you, not wishing, not wanting anyone to perish, but wanting all to come to repentance. It's called long suffering. The long suffering of God. In one of these days, long suffering individually and for the whole world. Will be done. No one knows the day or the hour. When the door of the ark was closed, it was closed. When the door to the chambers of the bridegroom, the banquet hall was closed, it was closed. And all opportunities are gone. And he tells us in his word not to live like fools, but to live ever watching and ever prepared for the sudden coming of the Lord. The word says that he will suddenly come to his temple. And he will. His temple. There in Jerusalem. As he will one day set his feet on the Mount of Olives. And yet while we're in this time frame, before the rapture, because that's after the rapture, before the rapture, he comes to his temple. As your body is a temple of the living Lord. And he'll take you home, Christian. So today, it behooves each and every one to be ready, first of all, by being born again. Giving your heart and soul to Jesus Christ in your whole life. And number two, for Christians to live as holy unto the Lord. Being about the Lord's business till the bridegroom comes, till the master of the house comes. And we don't know when that is. How will he find you? How will he find me? Father, Lord, your word is true. Let the word of God be true and every man be found a liar. Thy word is life. They are words of life. And we are, as what the disciples said, Lord, where are we going to go when people turned away from you? And you asked, will you go too? Where are we going to go? For you alone have the words of life, Jesus. You alone. Blessed are you. For it is in the words of Christ that we build our lives. The words of Christ, the church is built. The words of Christ, we take forth into a dark world. The word of the Lord. Father, I pray this morning in here that every heart and soul is ready for the soul's bright home. And God, that we will lay aside the filthiness in our lives in this world as Christians, and we will dedicate our lives unto the Lord and truly live a life as commanded for us, as we see in Paul in Galatians 2:20. God, forgive us. Find us on our knees. Heaven pouring out upon us. Forgive us. Revive us. That our hearts will know the joy, the gladness of walking with Christ, serving the Lord, the power of the risen Christ in each one of us. Bless, we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. 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 We'll sing this great favorite song in the church, and how great thou art. You know that it's a tremendous song. So don't get caught up in the familiar.